Is that better? Yeah. Hey, how about that? I'm pleased someone's awake. Don't you feel a sense of not having to run anymore? You know what? We still wake up the same time, don't we? Well, packing and going on holiday can be great fun, can't it? Yes. The planning can just be just as exciting. We're going up to there and there and there, but what is there on the way to see? All sorts of exciting things. There was an obligation on Jewish people to gather at the temple three times a year. And if you understand your Anglican formularies well, you'll realise that that figure three turns up in there too. For the Jewish people, it was Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. In reality, most people did as Mary and Joseph. They made one trip. For Mary and Joseph, there was a choice of which way they could go. The short way through Samaria was about 110 kilometres and probably take 4 days. The longer way by the River Jordan was about 150 kilometres and probably take 6 days. In all probability, they took the longer route because the Samaritans were seen as enemies. And either way, they travelled in a caravan, a group, for safety and for company. In the clothes they stood up in, you see, carry-on baggage then was what you carried. And so, you know, you were pretty careful. A water skin. Well, we're up to date with that. We've got a whatever bottle. A little bit of money. And because they were travelling through dangerous country, maybe they had a knife tucked in their belt. And the whole trip would have taken about 3 weeks. So firstly, the situation in our reading from Luke 2, verses 41 to 45. We join the caravan returning home in verse 43, on the first day out of Jerusalem. And then we note that at night time they can't find Jesus. He's not in the group of people as they stop and settle for the night. We're all too familiar with accounts of disappearing children. Speaking with old McGill people here about their early years, it was quite obvious on Saturday morning they'd have breakfast and disappear into the hills. Maybe return when the sun set or when they got hungry. Mary and Joseph leave the safety of their group and return to Jerusalem, wondering all the way, no doubt, where is that boy? The 3 days referred to seem to me the days they walked out of Jerusalem and then went back and they found him on the third day in the city. Mary and Joseph having been regular visitors to the city, and of course Jerusalem was a tad smaller than it is now, they find him in the temple. And so secondly, that situation in the temple, verses 46 to 47. And we're now going to have a glimpse in around the life of the temple at that time. And I've got a friend who will help explain. Well, Wheelie, we're now here at St. George's, so you can relax. Oh, gee, Rob, it was all a bit of a rush. All that COVID stuff making travel tricky. Okay, Wheelie, let me explain to all these lovely people why we had to rush. You see, Wheelie lives in the corner of the teaching room in Jerusalem. He's come to visit us down under for a bit. And you'd believe it, he hears and sees all sorts of stuff. Tell us about what goes on in your area.
Well, people come from all over, especially at Passover. They all ask questions and come to hear the teachers so they can learn more about their faith. God said to Moses, teach his people his words. So the teachers come each day to help the people, and they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, young and old, poor and not so poor. Not many of the rich. Oh, you must see many people. Tell us about them. Well, there are those with all the power, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees love the law. They put it before people. The Sadducees say, this life is all you've got. But I tell you something, Rob. They get on like two rival bikey gangs. But surely, really, there are some decent people? Oh, yes, there's this guy called Nicodemus. He walks the talk. He's a good fella. And then there's Joseph of Arimathea. He thinks very carefully. Others, of course, have their role with their vested interests, and they're very important. It's like they're watching anyone who will disturb the Romans or upset the Jerusalem share market. Well, Wheelie, we need to get to the nub of the matter. You wanted to tell us about something unusual that happened the other day. Oh, Rob, it was a real revelation. This lad Jesus turned up and sat with the people and the teachers. He's very regular. He comes once a year. But be fair, as you said earlier, he lives in Nazareth and that's hundreds of kilometres away and takes days to get to Jerusalem. Well, really, what happened? He sat with the people and listened for a while, just like he was taking it all in. Was that all? No. Then he started asking questions. Ooh, what sort of questions? Questions like he asked later during his ministry. His questions made some people feel a bit uneasy. Then he started answering the teacher's questions, and well, then discomfort really set in. He made them squirm a bit. Some went red in the face. Others wouldn't look at him. Well, really, how did the other people react? Oh, some tried to hide their smiles behind their hands, looked at their feet. Because, you know, if the hat fits, wear it. Some were not so sure, but others knew the teachers deserved to be put on the spot. And a few were riveted by what he said, because they all saw a glimpse of God's light shine in their hearts. Well, really, that's powerful stuff. Sure is, Rob. Jesus kept coming back day after day. Then his mum and dad turned up. And it's obvious they worked well together. And they headed off to Nazareth. Well, thank you, really, for those insights. Now, when Mary and Joseph arrived at the temple in verse 48, they too are breathtaken. The word is astonished. Their son was holding the floor as an adult among adults. And now, thirdly, we come to the discussion in verses 48 and 49. The discussion between Jesus and Mary and Joseph is brief. And it's very easy to imagine what's not there, because it's very easy for us to perhaps put our feelings into that situation. There are two parts of it. In verse 48, Mary says to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Obviously, we note Mary's concern, some surprise. Mary and Joseph would have not only been worried, tired and concerned about Jesus' safety and well-being, but also they would have been worried about getting home safely. Was there another caravan for them to join? We need to remember that they were godly people, yet they were surprised Jesus was in the temple. Maybe they didn't know Jesus as well as they thought they did. And that often happens in families. How much does Mary remember about what Gabriel said to her 12 years earlier? We find Gabriel's words in Luke chapter 1. And Gabriel says, Jesus will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him his throne, give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So, how much did Mary really understand? And then Jesus says in verse 49, why are you searching for me? Don't you know I have to be in my Father's house? Well, what's Jesus saying here? What does he mean by saying my Father's house? You'll remember other parts in the Gospels where he's a bit more demonstrative in his Father's house. It is though Jesus is saying here, I must be about my Father's business. Or perhaps he is saying, this is my life, my vocation. There was, it seems, an innate spiritual attraction or recognition, a yearning to know more of his Father and his Father's ways. As we reflect on the content of the Gospels, it's impossible for us to read, for example, the chapters in John 14 and following, and not realize there is a uniquely, vitally close relationship between Jesus and his Father. But for Mary and Joseph, that was too much information. Mary treasured the memory until the Spirit gave her understanding many years later. Just like the disciples who were also unable to comprehend the gravity of Jesus' life and the Father's purposes. There are two things, it seems to me, from this reading. Firstly, Mary and Joseph have a close relationship with Jesus. But it seems to me they're challenged here to allow their son to develop and express his relationship with his heavenly Father. And this is a challenge to all parents. Will there be space in their relationship with their sons and daughters so their sons and daughters' relationship with their heavenly Father will grow and blossom? While we pray for our children, the birth of faith in their lives will stretch the previous relationship. And something similar also happens with spouses when one comes to know Jesus. The second thing is that Jesus, as God's Son, seeks to know more of his heavenly Father. And we, as God's sons and daughters, are challenged by that example to know more of our heavenly Father. There is an innate spiritual recognition and yearning within us as born-again people to learn more about our Heavenly Father. That is, spending time reading, meditating, asking questions, having time to wait on God's grace in silence. There are people here who would love to help and encourage you in your life of faith as you spend time with God and His Word. Several years ago, my life took a turn, and so I found I have an ideal opportunity to spend time with God. You see, I have a certain medication I need to take an hour before food. You don't go to sleep after that again for an hour. So I get up, take the medication, and then spend time reading God's word, praying and pondering and wondering what it says. Somewhere in your life, there will be space for you and God to get together, reading, praying and waiting on God. Setting up a space like that would set the stage to behold the real glory of our Heavenly Father.
Thanks, Rob. And as I said, the whole service is a kids' talk. If you kids had gone out, you would have missed weird.